national interest is part of the greatest strength of all security. Because right now we have nearly 150,000 taxpayers on the annual wars in the United States. And the 45th is being involved in issuing guns from the United States to the United States. The only way this nation can even hope for this is dead.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, and of course, views of our callers. If you're out across America, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But hold your calls for the time being. With us today is Myrna Culbreth. Hi, Myrna. How are you doing?
Well, I'm great, and I'm delighted, as always, to be with you.
Well, now, Myrna, of course, teaches people how to read phonetically and spell phonetically and pronounce words phonetically. She's been doing this for a long, long time. So I'm going to let you just sort of begin to introduce yourself to our listeners.
Well, you know, I basically tripped over this problem years ago. I found college students who couldn't really read. They had some words memorized, but they literally couldn't get the words off the page. And I was busy trying to teach them a new speed reading method that I'd invented. And, you know, I saw that a big part of the people, and these were college students and corporate executives, and all of a sudden I realized they can't do this. And I didn't even know what question to ask, but it eventually occurred to me to ask, never mind, speed reading, read a paragraph to me. And then I'll tell you, you know, I got the shock of my lifetime. I obviously haven't recovered yet. But these people, and they were very good-looking people, could not really read the words off the page, and they were stumbling, guessing, misreading. So I said, boy, you know, if the college students can't read, who can? There's got to be a big crisis going on out there. And nobody at that time was even talking about it. But I looked into it, did some research, pretty quickly found they threw phonics out of most schools decades ago. I mean, we're not talking 10, 15, 20, even 30, 40, even 50 years. We're talking 70-odd years. The Run, Jane, Run books, which are the wrong books for all of this, came out in 1929. By the early 30s, they were pretty universal. By the 40s, they pretty much wiped out everything else in the running. And they were supported by a very aggressive movement in education called progressive education. You had to hang one man's name on it, John Dewey, and it wouldn't be too bad of a man to hang either if you weren't already somewhere else.
All right, well, you just hang on there. We'll be right back in just a moment with Myrna Culbreth. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hill overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And with us today is Myrna Culbreth. And Myrna certainly has dedicated the last many years of her life to teaching people how to read phonetically, how to spell words phonetically, how to pronounce words phonetically. And Myrna has really been on the front lines of designing programs to teach children about phonics, because of course if you don't know phonics, you're not going to read well, and you're certainly not going to spell well. And of course this is part of a deliberate program of dumbing down our children. There was a fascinating program on CBS yesterday on 60 Minutes talking about India, where they have a college where they teach children technical things. They teach them about science. They teach them about computers. And they think they have 170,000 applicants every year. Only about 3,000 of them get in. Those that don't get in will go to schools like MIT at Harvard or to Columbia University. That's where their second-rate students go, because in India they insist on discipline. They have massive classrooms. They'll have one teacher and 60 or 80 students. It has nothing to do with the size of the class. It has to do with an orderly program with discipline, where children are told that they have to learn, and where they use memories and they're taught to use their minds. Exactly the opposite of what they're doing in this country, where they are intentionally dumbing down our kids. And the end result of this, of course, is what we see today. People, of course, who blindly follow along with whatever the government tells them. They haven't read history. They don't know what tyranny is all about. They don't even understand our Constitution, or the fact that our Constitution was based upon limiting the power of government over the lives of the people, and that liberty and limited government were synonymous. We have a group of people in America who've been deliberately dumbed down, not by accident, but by intent. And, of course, anybody who loves their children would certainly get out of them government schools, because this is where this all begins. It's because the people from the dark side took control of our educational system many years ago, not at the local level, but at the top level, dictating methods of teaching which were intended to fail. And, boy, have they done a great job. Why don't you pick up the story from there, Myrna?
Well, you know, I got a face-to-face encounter with this just a few days ago. And, you know, in the nicest possible result of this terrible system, I did a little seminar where people could come in and get free testing, a little five-minute test that will tell parents and or adults for themselves. And quite a few of the people who came for it were adults who wanted to be tested, and they needed it. And, you know, turned out they were doing what we were talking about. They were guessing some words, memorizing others, kind of laboring their way through something. But if you put them on a list of just words in a list with no pictures, no paragraphs, no context for guessing, then it shows up the difficulties. And there is a standardized test like that that we've used for years. So anyway, we opened this up and we had people come in. I did a little television interview and some other stuff in the area. And people came in, and one of the people who came in was an eighth grade girl. Her father brought her in. And so when I opened it up and said, well, okay, let's talk about what interested you when you heard that there was going to be the free testing and the phonicsopoly and so forth, what interested you? And this girl spoke up for herself. Now, she was extremely well-spoken, very nice, very well-mannered. I mean, you know, it was obvious that the parental influence was doing some good there. But she was still nonetheless going to regular schools. And she said, I'm in advanced placement classes. I'm in the honors program. And I thought you would like to know, it seems very ironic to me, that this is the advanced placement program. And she said, I read books of 200-300 pages, and I read two or three of them perhaps a week. And she said, in the advanced placement program, I thought you'd like to know, the requirement for being in that program is to read 70 pages a week outside of school, only 70 pages. So she expressed horror about that, so did I. And then we talked further, and she said, you know, I always score in the 90-something percentile, 96, 94, except I can't spell worth a nickel. And some of my teachers don't count off for that because they say, well, that's fine, we'll just read what takes you ought to have meant here. Some others count off a little bit, but I know it's very bad, and on standardized tests on that, I get like the 60th percentile. And I just wonder if any of this would work for me. Well, when I tested her, Dr. Stan, here's the nicest possible result of a very failed system. And she could not really read. She was like those college students that I tripped over years ago. She could, if she happened to know a word, she could read it off the page. If she didn't, she was leaving words out, putting words in, getting the wrong word, putting in a syllable that wasn't there, or leaving one out. She literally was helpless. She did not know phonics. But she was so bright that she memorized enough that she could still skate through and kind of sort of read. But not really. And so, I mean, at that she scored several grade levels better than the nuclear designer that I've sometimes talked about, who said he didn't make the drawings. He was either a lead designer or the lead designer of the San Onofre nuclear plant. And he said, I could make the drawings for my design team better than anybody else, but I don't make them because I can't spell to label the drawings. But what he also did not know was that he could not read, really. He scored on a 5.4 grade level on this test. On the same test, this girl scored a 7.5 grade level. She was in the eighth grade. So you could say, well, that's not too bad. But as a matter of fact, it's terrible because by the first grade, she ought to have been able to read off the page pretty much any word on that list, maybe with slight variations toward the end. But she wasn't anywhere near that as a very bright, 96th percentile eighth grader. She's still helpless. And that, to me, was kind of a gut-wrenching indictment.
But, of course, the thing is that the parents across the country, they know something's wrong, but then the president says, oh, we got this wonderful new program, No Child Left Behind. They don't understand. When they say No Child Left Behind, that means no child really stands a chance in the government schools, because the purpose of education is not to teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's to change their values. It's to teach them all about death and suicide and sex, and so they'll know far more about sex than they do about Shakespeare, but of course it's to change their attitude and values and beliefs. And until people understand that this is not happening by accident, it is part of a program of social engineering that is being carried out by both political parties, and it doesn't make a bit of difference who the president is, of the same program persists. And I met Governor Bush, and at that time he was the governor of the state of Texas, and I said to him, how do you feel about this outcome-based education and using education for social engineering? Oh, he said, oh, I oppose it, and oh, I kept it out of Texas. Well, I knew he'd brought it in by executive order. He sat 6 feet away from me, looked me right in the eye, and told me he'd kept it out of Texas. Of course, most people from California wouldn't know that, but I knew that because we're in touch with people all across the country. So, I mean, and of course, this is what they brought in at the federal level. They've just changed the name. Oh, No Child Left Behind. They even have a song about it. Sounds really great. But the reality is, it's the same old outcome-based education, simply by a different name. And the average parent doesn't understand that. They think, well, things are going to get better now. No, they're going to continue getting worse and worse and worse. Only now, instead of simply being done at the state level, they're going to have the federal testing to make sure that the schools are doing a good job of destroying faith in God and destroying faith in America and getting these children to embrace this idea of the world government and how much better the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is than of course, the American Bill of Rights, because there's so many more things guaranteed by the Universal Declaration of Rights. The only trouble is, of course, that the Universal Declaration of Rights, the rights can be suspended at any time by the government, as long as it serves the purpose of the government, where in our Declaration of Independence, our rights and our Constitution and our Bill of Rights all come from God. That's the difference. But, of course, they have a God in the United Nations. It's just a different God. And of course, till the American people understand that what's happening with reading, what's happening with education, is part of a much bigger plan that's been going on for a long time, we will continue having the problems we are today. So, were you able to help this young lady?
Well, yes. She and her dad carried off a phonics-opoly game, and they agreed to report back to us as they are using it. I said, this girl should be seen by the country. Sooner or later we'll do a television infomercial for phonics-opoly, or maybe some radio interviews, even bring her on one of your programs. It was a very, very nice girl. I mean, you could not ask for a nicer girl. The dad seemed very nice and all of that. But even so, and even though she's the best of the best, so to speak, she's also the worst of the worst. She's in terrible shape and hasn't even fully known it until now. But now she'll go through phonics properly. She'll see the logic behind the spelling as well as the reading. She'll get it so she's pronouncing every word exactly right. By the third game, she'll be pronouncing words like chronological and genetic and so forth, but she'll explain and know every single sound that's in there. Why this letter changes another letter sound? How come you know this G sounds like J? And so forth. And she'll know. By the time she gets to the Spellbinders game, which is one of the free bonus games, you know, she'll know all about it more than most college professors would know, certainly more than most teachers know, because they've been dumbed down, too. In the teachers' colleges, they've been taught an absolutely wrong theory of teaching reading. They've been taught a wrong practice of teaching reading, and many of them can't read themselves. There's a book out called Endangered Brains, and it happens to be by a university professor of education, and she's talking about that brains have actually changed in kids over the years. She's interviewed a bunch of teachers, and they all agree, boy, yes, the teenagers' brains even are very much worse than they were even 10 years before, even 20 years before, or even 5 years before. And so on. The kids can't talk properly. They can't put one word in front of another. They're doing "it's like you know," and so on, 40 times in a sentence. And she says, well, there are various things going into that. For example, lots and lots of people using daycare now and television. What they don't know is television does not really teach a child to speak, only interaction with a caring adult, preferably a parent, but some kind of caring adult or older kid interacting with a little kid will teach that kid to speak. Just television or just being in front of television will not, or an audio program or so on. So, first of all, we're checking the kids into daycare, and we may be checking them out with very much less vocabulary than their kids, you know, than their parents would have had. You know, you get a nice yuppie couple that both of them go out to work and do their own thing. They look park the kids in daycare, sometimes with daycare people that don't even speak English, but even if they do, there's 20 kids to a person there, and they don't get much chance to interact. And so the parents confidently expect that their kids are going to have the same kind of brain they had. Lots of luck. They may not. They may not have nearly the vocabulary, nearly the sophistication, nearly the capacity to fend for themselves and so on that their parents' generation had. And their parents' generation may have less than the previous one.
Well, of course, you know, the thing is that the children may be getting good grades, but that's because they've dumbed down the grades. And it used to be that the majority of the kids got C's. There was a curve. Now about 10 to 20% kids get C's, you know, and about, you know, 40 or 50% of the kids get B's, and you know, and about 35 or 40% of the people get A's, you know, so it comes out with 100%. But, of course, they simply don't want kids to get, you know, C's because that would hurt their self-esteem. The whole idea is not to drive kids, not to give them an incentive, not to push for excellence, which is why, of course, this country is being destroyed from within. We are being intentionally attacked through our educational system, through our television, through our movies. Everything is aimed at destroying this country. Why? Because it once was a Christian country, and, of course, this has always been the plan, to destroy it from within. And most people don't even know that there's a battle going on.
Well, parents can seize control. The one thing for sure that they can do is make sure that their kids can really read and write and spell. And that's easy to do in a few hours with phonicsopoly.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Myrna Culbraith, and we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. We're talking about a phonicsopoly and, of course, a wonderful way to teach your children how to be able to read and spell. And, of course, without being able to read and spell, they'll never be able to succeed in life. Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of
film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WARN. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
This is radio health journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamax, the new odorless, 100% pure allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamax is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh, crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405-4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamax. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention a product. It's called the Big Berkey, and the Big Berkey is a water filter. It's simply a gravity water filter. You put water in the top, it comes out the bottom. But, of course, it comes out sparkling clean, and, of course, the Big Berkey can remove bacteria and cryptosporidium and E. coli. It certainly will remove most of the taste, most of the herbicides and chlorine and pesticides and foul taste and odors from water, but of course it has the advantage of leaving in the normal minerals. The Big Berkey is elegant, it's flexible, you can certainly move it around, and of course they've stood this test of time. These water filters have been used by missionaries throughout the world for over 150 years, and they work, and they work well, and certainly they look very, very good in your kitchen. So if you'd like to know about getting a water filter, and especially in times like this, you need a source of water, and this, you can take swamp water, and you can take river water, and you can run it through there, and it'll be perfectly safe for you to drink. So, of course, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, most of these, the routine retail price is $279. We offer it for $239.95. And, of course, we provide you with any one of our four tape sets. We've got a list of the four tape sets. We've got five tape sets and five videos you can choose from. Or if you want to substitute something else, you can. Now, the Big Berkey is not available at the present time in California or in Iowa. On the other hand, if you're interested in getting a water filter, give us a call, and we'll tell you about other items which are available, which will do the job. Again, it's the Big Berkey, and give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. You need to be able to have healthy water, especially if there are problems here in the United States. And then, of course, we want to mention our Miracle 2 soap products, which we carry, and we can't make any medical claims for them. We can tell you a lot of our people who have used them do. There's a soap, a moisturizing soap, a neutralizer, a lotion and gel. If you'd like to know more about them or to get an introductory offer, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's Miracle 2 soap products. Well, this is Dr. Stan back there, and our guest this afternoon is Myrna Culbraith, and she's talking about Phenopoly, which incidentally we do carry, and you can get it by calling 1-800-5-448-927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because the key to education is being able to read, and so many of our children have real trouble reading, which is why, and of course, as a result of that, spelling, that's why the children who get a homeschooling do so well in the spelling bees. Why? Well, very simply, because they're taught to read phonetically. They're not deliberately dumbed down as they are in government schools. Remember, there's no free lunch. And there's no real free education. There's a system of indoctrination to change your attitude towards God, family, and country. There's an indoctrination to change your attitudes towards morality and sex and God. But, you know, it's not free because it comes at a tremendous price for your children and for eternities. Well, go ahead and pick up the story there, Myrna.
Well, you know, it's hard for Americans to even believe that somebody would deliberately harm children, deliberately harm education, and so on. But, you know, somebody asked me, I was posing this to somebody else who knows this problem, that the progressive education people have supported the wrong method of teaching reading for years, even though they know it's damaging, even though they know it doesn't work. They knew it 100 years ago. But 70 years ago, they succeeded in putting it just about every school in the country, and this was Dewey and the rest of the progressive education movement, and they've kept it there in spite of the parents' protests, in spite of the results, in spite of the research, which all supports phonics, every bit of it, including the year 2000 report from the National Panel on Reading, which said systematic phonics is essential, not incidental phonics, not accidental phonics, not haphazard phonics, systematic, logical phonics of the type that we teach. And they said it's essential, it's vital, and so on. That's a government-sponsored report, and even that included some people who were on the opposite side of the issue. And here and there you see a line in where they've slugged it out, obviously, over the text of the report, but the basic indication of it is you must teach systematic phonics. So, if that's the case, and they went through 100,000 studies, narrowed it down to the most scientific, and said, this is what the research proves. And, you know, people hollered and yelled some from the opposite side, but they also did not budge. They did not move. For the most part, schools are still trying to teach non-phonics. They're trying to teach what they call whole language. And catch the premise of whole language, which, if you think about it, is false on the face of things. They're saying whole language people are sort of the successors of the Run Jane Run people, and they're really the same people and the same theory and the same memorize and guess approach, except now the whole language people have taken it one better. At least the Run Jane Run people had some theory of how kids were going to learn to recognize words, namely just bat them over the head with it long enough with the oh, look, look, see Jane Run repetition. Well, the whole language people went beyond that, and they said, just surround the child with print, immerse the child in print, and the child will learn to read as easily and as naturally as it learns to talk. Well, no, it won't. As a matter of fact, if you think about that, that cannot be true because we don't have any non-talkers that are raised by normal human beings or even not-so-normal human beings. Everybody learns to talk. They're raised in even a half-decent human society or something. They're not so half-decent, but they learn to talk. But that is simply not true about reading, or we wouldn't have any non-readers, and we do have non-readers. As a matter of fact, we have about 1 out of 5 adult Americans who really, really can't read, and another, almost 2 out of 5, who can read a little bit, but not really, the total being 1 out of 2 adult Americans cannot read on a fifth grade level, read on a fifth grade level or below. And that means can't read a newspaper, can't read internet texts, can't do any of those things. And then above that, there are a lot of people who sort of read, or even read fairly well, but they don't feel very good when they read. They get sleepy or tired or bored or bugged, and you might ask yourself, if you're out there and you're an adult, and we've spoken about the need to teach children with phonicsopoly, but phonicsopoly is pretty much the only phonics program that's really designed to teach all ages, all levels, including very bright, very sophisticated adults.
You know, I had a gentleman call me recently. He must be, I don't know, I assumed he was in his 60s or 70s, and he got the phonicsopoly. He had gone through it once, he was going to go through it again, and told me how much he really appreciated it and enjoyed it. So this is something that will help anybody at any age to begin to improve their reading and their comprehension. But most of that, of course, learning the rules of the language, the rules of the spelling, and why things are spelled the way they are. And once you know that, and you begin to think phonetically why everything changes, we're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest today, and we'll welcome your calls at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WARM.
No. Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, people really find it difficult to believe that anybody could want a dictatorship in America, and I would simply ask, why not? There have always been those who wanted an authoritarian society, and you go back and you read. We have a wonderful book written by William Still, and of course, that goes into the New World Order, Bill Still's book. It talks about when his father was in Washington, D.C., you know, during the Nixon administration. There was talk at that time about a military coup to keep Nixon in power. There was talk in the 1930s about a military coup, and of course they recruited Major General Smedley Butler, and they wanted him to lead a military rebellion. Why? Because there are always people who covet power. And of course there were plans made many years ago in case of a terrorist attack to suspend the Constitution and begin to arrest American citizens who were not willing to go along with the government. Now, the four-tape set on concentration camps is excellent. We have a special, a concentration camp special, or you can simply get the what we call the amazing clips. There are three videos or about 4.5 hours of watching. There's no commentary. There's simply the clips with the sound on the clips, what people are saying. And you'll actually hear congressmen talking about the plan for concentration camps in America and then the very conscious effort to prevent that information from getting onto the television because they don't want the American people to understand what's really going on. Call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for either concentration camp four tape set, or better still, the concentration camp special, or if you'd just like to get the videos, the amazing clips. There are three videos, 4.5 hours of watching. I promise you, you will never look at the world through the same eyes again. So give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our guest is Myrna Culbraith. Myrna, why don't you go ahead and pick up the story there, and of course, go ahead, if you're out there in the listening audience, if you have a question or comment, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But you know, it's tragic, so many of our children, when they go into college, have to take bonehead English, and our children cannot compete with children from other countries. That's why we're bringing so many children in from India and from other countries to take the better jobs in this country.
That's right.
We've dumbed down our children.
Yeah, what you were talking about before, the fact that Indian children are educated and then they are winnowed out and get into their schools or our inferior schools like Harvard, what's going on there is simply they're being taught to read and write and spell in English, and then they can go ahead and learn scientific subjects, technical subjects, and so on, and they have an incentive to do so, and they do, and then we import brains from the rest of the country. It used to be that we exported brains to the rest of the country and to the rest of the world. We sent our technicians, we sent our best people. They went over and fixed things up and you know, reclaimed the Russian oil fields that blew up after the revolution and so on. We exported brains. Now we import brains, and our kids can't even get into many of the schools that would let them qualify for the technical jobs. So almost our entire high-tech industry is run and populated by people from India, people from Pakistan, people from other countries comparable to that. And, you know, you have to think about that a little bit in these days of terrorism. Our entire computer system that runs everything else, so to speak, is being run by people who mostly, I'm sure, are very well-intended people who just came here to make a nice life for themselves, and more power to them. But our kids ought to at least have a shot at that kind of thing. Most technical schools that exist today, if one can walk in there and pass a simple reading test, one can get government funding, whether it should be the case or not, it is the case. You can get government funding, loans, compensation, even things, even money to live on in some cases, and anywhere from 6 months to a year or two later, come out and get a $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $90,000 for supervisors a year job. And most of our kids and the young adults and older adults can't even begin to qualify. They just simply don't read well enough. And if they could, and you know, they could, incidentally, after a weekend of playing Phonicsopoly, you know, it's not that people's spoken language is limited. Most people talk just fine. And while their vocabulary is probably more limited than it was some years ago, it's still fine enough to be able to read and so forth if they just have the little simple key. And it's, here's how simple it is. There are a million words in the English language, but there are only 40 sounds and a handful of rules, say about a dozen important rules, a few minor ones. And if you know that much and you learn it easily and you can't even help learning it if you play through the games of Phonicsopoly or Phonopoly, you can read any word off the page. If you can read it off the page, the chances are pretty good that you know the word. Even if you don't, you can look it up. You'll hear it again in the next 5 minutes when somebody says it, and you begin to pick up the meaning. So if you can get that one little key to the slot, you know, it's like these days they got the Superman when he was a boy program Smallville, and they've got his little spaceship tucked away somewhere, and there's an octagonal key that when you put it in the slot, the whole thing responds, opens up, you know, sings and dances. I mean, it does everything just with that one little key. Well, phonics is like that little magic key. If you know it, you're in business on everything to do with English language. If you don't know it, everything becomes so much harder that even the brain gets tired. And here's the new brain research, Dr. Stan, that is perking even me up. You know, I've been talking for years about the sleepy tired syndrome and how I have seen it go away, even in 50, 60, 70-year-old men and women who have been suffering from it all their lives, and they can only read 5 minutes, and they have to get up like the dentist-turned-attorney said he had to get up after 5 minutes, walk around pounding himself on the back trying to wake up. And he did that all the way through a law degree and through passing the bar. And he came in hoping that we could somehow get him out of that sleepy tired syndrome because it was killing him. Well, it turned out he played two of our games, went home that night, and here's a man who could never read at night to save his soul, not even for 10 minutes. He picked up a book, confidently expecting to put himself to sleep so he'd get back for seminar with a good night's sleep. He could not put the cotton picking book down. He wound up reading all night long, came in next morning telling that story. And we've since seen that happen with just innumerable people. So we knew this was happening. But here's the new brain research. They looked into brains with brain scans now. And I've been saying for years, you know, if we could look into the brain with the brain scans, we'd probably see when they're teaching reading wrong or even teaching it to the wrong half of the brain. And that may set you up to have to recognize a word on the right side of the brain where you do pictures and pattern recognition, go to the left where you talk, where the language is. That's the first thing I ever learned about left brain, right brain. Figure out what it means and back to the right to get the next word and back and forth and back and forth. And it even sounds like it would, you know, would put you right out, make you extremely sleepy, and apparently it does. Well, now they've seen this happening. I used to say, wish they could look in the brain and see this. Guess what? Now they can. Technology, ain't it wonderful? But now they're looking in and they saw, for example, a bunch of guys with their brains working 4 times harder than they should be. And these were the kids and or young adults that were labeled dyslexic. And, you know, I've always said it's not dyslexia, it's dysteachia. Well, I think that's been proved now because I guess the next step, they had a control group that was normal, in fact, above normal in reading, otherwise the same as the group that had dyslexia. And now they looked in the brains, and they sure enough, the dyslexic's working four times too hard. And you would think, okay, right, there's a brain disorder, right? Except then they just taught the dyslexic phonics. And then they waited a little bit, and then they remeasured again, looked in again with the brain scans. This time, their brains were working normally. In fact, better than normally. There was no significant difference between these kids that have been labeled dyslexic and the ones that were better than average readers. So they went all the way from four times below par to above par. And good grief, you know, if that's the case, that's the whole case. Your brain can change, phonics can change it. You know, what are you waiting for? You may not even know who you are until you play something like phonics opera.
Well, you know, it's really frightening to me, Myrna, that there could be people so filled with hatred that they would intentionally harm our children. Now, I don't think the average teacher has any idea what this is all about. They're taught, you know, in teachers' college, oh, you know, some people, you know, most people can learn this way. You know, everybody can learn with the look-see method, or maybe we ought to mix the two of them up together. And it really is a lie. But if you tell teachers a lie often enough, they will believe it, just like parents will believe it, or most people will. This has certainly been found through the years. It doesn't matter how ridiculous something is, if you say it often enough, people will believe. And of course, this is what's happened with this method of teaching. It's failed. It's been failing for 50 years, and they continue using it, knowing full well it's going to fail, because, of course, it is too horrible to contemplate that there could be anybody this wicked that would actually attack the minds of our children. And yet, of course, we've seen people, you know, create wars. We've seen these horrors that are going on in the world today. Why should we doubt that there is wickedness in the world? And why should we think that it would not be carried over into our schools? Because, of course, the key to the future is these children. And they're being deliberately dumbed down. All you have to do is look at the scores, and then, of course, look at the research. And, of course, all of this is documented when you actually get the Phonopoly set. We'll give you a couple of books that will give you the background. One of them is written by Barrett Schoes, called Brave New Schools, the other by my friend John Stormer, who wrote None Dare Call It Treason. Now he's written None Dare Call It Education, simply quoting the people who came up with this scheme, who said, we know it's not going to work. That's why we're going to use it. And that's what they're doing with your children, and maybe that's what they did with you. If you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you agree, if you disagree, that's, of course, what talk radio is all about. We'd love to hear from you. But our guest today is Myrna Culbraith. If you'd like to get a Phonopoly set or learn more about it, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Most of these programs are $300 or $400. What is your old phonics game that you devised? What's that go for?
Well, last I looked, it was about $350, and Hooked on Phonics. Just one part of it, one aspect of it, is $400, and then that's if you want to go up to the third grade level. If you want to go beyond the third grade level, then you have to spend another $400, and I think there's another $400 on top of that, and we could spend $1,000 or $1,200 on that right away without any trouble at all, and you'd still just have a little kid's program. Whereas Phonicsopoly, first of all, it's on the offer you make, it's like giving away the keys to the kingdom. But there's a phone ringing in the background.
Okay, fine. Well, we're going to go to Alex here while you get your phone.
It's fine.
Alex is calling in. Hi, Alex. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, Dr. Stan, just a comment about the Institute of the Constitution classes that are being held in Marina.
Okay, fine.
And we're meeting tonight at 7:30.
You're meeting tonight at 7:30?
Yes.
All right, fine. And whereabouts is that in Marina? What time?
It's at 7:30 Marina First Assembly Church. That's at 3185 DeForest Road in Marina.
That's
3185
Forest Road in Marina.
Marina.
And
yes.
Is there a telephone number people could call if they want more information?
Yes, please call toll-free 877-448-5798. I must say, Dr. Stan, that we're still looking for participants to join us, because when I first put out the information on this to the local media, the announcement was blacked out by all the mainstream media newspapers.
Well, what did you expect it would be? After all, the people who want to dumb us down certainly don't want people to learn about the Constitution. So if you would like to, of course, learn about the Constitution, the foundation of our freedom, if you're concerned about this idea of freedom, why, give Alex a call at 877-448-5798 or go this evening to the Assembly of God Church there in Marina. You should be there. You should bring as many people as you can. It should be a sellout, program if you really care about freedom. Because do you really know the background, the history of our Constitution, why this document once made America the envy of the world? Well, give Alex a call. Get started going. And we want more and more of these programs set up all throughout the Monterey Bay area, indeed all across the nation. Thank you so much for calling, Alex. And you call again next week to remind people ahead of time, okay?
Thank you, Dr.
And you can call on the evening program, too, if you'd like. Good night. Bye-bye. God bless. Okay, fine. Well, our guest this evening, of course, is Myrna Culverath. We're talking about this program of dumbing down our children. Of course, they specifically don't teach the Constitution and the meaning of the Constitution in our schools. Why? Because then people would understand, the fact that, the whole idea of the Constitution was to limit the power of the centralized authority, because as George Washington said, government is not eloquence, government is not persuasion, government is force, like fire, it is a dangerous servant but a fearful master. And Thomas Jefferson has said, in matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down for mischief with the chains of the Constitution. And Thomas Paine, who said, all societies are good, but government, even at its best, is a necessary evil. They recognized that government is what tyrannizes people and takes away their freedom. And, of course, that's why they wanted to limit the power of the central authority. And for a long time, America was free because we limited the power of the central government. And then, of course, primarily during the Vietnam War. And that's what the Vietnam was really about. It never was about defeating communism. It was about distracting us as the Supreme Court, which at that time was under the control of Masons, actually eroded the foundations of our Constitution, centralized all power in Washington, D.C., opened up the grates for immigration, crowned Roe versus Wade, took God out of our schools. That's what it was all about. And boy, it was a great diversion. Just as the coming war with Iraq is a great diversion. Go ahead, Myrna.
Well, people have a hard time believing that people would really seize the schools and try to use them to reshape the society. But if you think about it, if that were your objective, let's say you're back in the time of John Dewey and the other early progressive educators, or even a century back of that, when you're Thomas Mann and you're trying to get the government schools set up in the first place, there was a movement that wanted, in effect, socialism. And they came over and they even tried it. They set up a socialist community sponsored by Robert Owen, the Scottish socialist.
Now, that was
By the way, in his first utopian community in England, said, do not trouble the children with books. And that has been their policy ever since. Well, they set up, they realized, finally, when their New Harmony fell apart with utopian community in the United States that he sponsored, fell apart in terrible infighting and backbiting and so forth, because once you give up the idea that people can keep what they earn, then they don't know what they can keep or what they can get away from somebody else, and pretty soon they're like a pack of wolves scavenging a carcass, and
but of course,
it fell apart.
Well, of course, the real thing about socialism, it's an elitist concept. It's pushed by people of great wealth because it's a means of centralizing power of the government, and they will control government. They don't like this idea of limited government because they can't control everything, so they had to sell it to the suckers in the name of, we're going to distribute the wealth of the wealthy. Whereas actually, of course, it was a vehicle by which they could get your wealth. Have you ever noticed how it is the very wealthy just don't pay taxes or estate taxes? Very wealthy don't. They oppose doing away with the death tax. Why? Because all their money is in these special foundations that there's special laws made to protect them. And every time, of course, we revise the tax laws to get more money from the wealthy, why they pay less. And I have nothing against the wealthy. But what I do object to is these people of great wealth who are pushing socialism for their own benefit. And, of course, they want to have this massive government. And, of course, they have to tax us very heavily to have the massive government. but they don't pay their taxes. You know, at least the very, very wealthy don't. And that's contrary to everything you read, and they try to tell you that is the reality of what's going on today. And they say, oh, look, the poor don't pay any taxes. Of course they do. They pay sales tax, but mostly they pay their Social Security tax, and then they steal that money. Myrna, we're out of time. Do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I would just say, you know, there's one thing at least that you can take into your own hands, and that is your own brain. What if it's working four times too hard? It doesn't have to. How about playing a couple games of Monopoly this weekend?
Okay, God bless you, and thanks so very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course this is the time I just want to tell you about some of the other things that we have. We have a wonderful, wonderful book on the assassination of President Kennedy. It was basically written by a Mr. Gregory Douglas, who was given the private papers of Mr. Robert Crowley, who was director of covert operations for the CIA. And when Mr. Crowley died, he, of course, had Mr. Douglas, it gave Mr. Douglas the right to utilize this information. And they told why he and James Angleton and several of the others decided they had to kill President Kennedy. They felt what they were doing was good, and I won't give you all the details as to why they killed him, but it's all there in the story, why they killed him, how they had him killed. And, of course, Mr. Douglas asked Mr. Crowley, well, what happened to the assassins? And, well, of course, they put them into a plane. They thought they were being, of course, whisked away to freedom. But, of course, the CIA, well, according to Mr. Crowley, they ended up in the crab pots down the Caribbean. Ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with ruthless and wicked people. And, of course, they have the complete protection of the controlled media, because behind the central intelligence agencies are these dark spirits or forces we talk about. Regicide is a fascinating book. You're not going to see it covered in your local bookstore. It's available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's Regicide. It's the story of the assassination of President Kennedy. We even have a special on the Kennedy assassination that includes Craig Roberts' book. It includes the book, The Dead Witnesses. Do you know over 100 people died or were killed? Probably most of them murdered who were actually knew something about the assassination and they had to be eliminated. But that's the sort of thing that goes on today. You're not going to hear about that. We have the book. If you'd like to substitute Regicide for one of the books that's there, give us a call. 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, either the JFK special or Regicide. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you out there in the audience who believe in that there is a problem and would like to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day trying to get people to understand what is truly going on. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you can get our four best tapes of the month. But more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do, and that is try to educate people all the various aspects of what's going on today. And then, of course, certainly, if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, some people just subscribe to the newsletter, and you can subscribe to that if you'd like to. But if you'd like to get a free copy and know what it's about, our October newsletter is Kristen Breitweiser's testimony before the Senate Select Committee. Kristen's husband, Fran Breitweiser, died in the South Tower. It was one of the most powerful, moving testimonies before the Senate I've ever heard, totally blocked out by the controlled medium, but it's reproduced in our October newsletter. We'd be glad to send you a free copy of that. If you specifically request it, if you haven't had our newsletter before, or you can go up on our website at radioliberty.com and pull it down off of our website. That's www.radioliberty.com. My January newsletter goes into why we're going into the war. And our February newsletter goes into the fact that the war was planned long before George Bush became the president, and it tells you who the people were. And you know, if you don't know history, you just don't understand how things are. If you go back and you look at the First World War, there was Lloyd George, who was elected British Prime Minister in 1916, and Lloyd George had a secretariat. And four of the six members of that secretariat came from a secret society. It was called the Round Table. Well, there is a group that surrounds our president today. They were known as the Project for a New American Century. They held their organizational meeting and signed their statement of principles June 3rd, 1993. You can get their information off their website, www.newamericancentury.org. That's www.newamericancentury.org. This is all covered in my February newsletter. You'll find it there. 12 of the 25 members of this group, and most of them, of course, are in the Bush cabinet today, or certainly hold high positions or have held high positions in government. 12 of these people come from the Council on Foreign Relations. And the Council on Foreign Relations is a front organization for the Round Table, which was that little group that controlled Lloyd George's secretariat. And in fact, Lloyd George's war cabinet as well. And I think all six of the members of the Lloyd George's war cabinet came from the Council on Foreign Relations, from the Round Table group. And if you read Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, History of the World in Our Time, on pages 951 and 952, he will tell you that, of course, the Council on Foreign Relations was created in the United States in 1921 as a front group for J.P. Morgan and the American branch of the Round Table. So it's all the same thing. These people who, of course, come from an occult background, dedicated to this idea of a new world order, a new world religion. And once you understand that, everything makes sense. Otherwise, it really doesn't make sense. And you know, they're beginning to talk about now having the draft. Those of you who favor the war, would you like your son or your grandson or your husband to go off to fight in this war halfway around the world, where we're going to have our troops there for years afterwards? You remember Bill Clinton said, oh, our troops will be out of Bosnia, you know, within 6 months by November, and they're still there. And, of course, that's what the plan's all about. An American empire, our troops everywhere in the world. And, of course, that's by their statements, not mine. That's in our February newsletter. We'll be glad to send you a free copy. And we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for the boys who will be going into battle, and pray for the civilians over there in Israel and Palestine and Iraq as well. And then please remember, please, to pray for our Ministry of Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
Hi, Myrnis. Stan here.
I just wanted to talk to you about your telephone. It's just got a real tinny sound to it. And the last several programs we've had real problems with the sound. The content's great, but the quality is really very, very poor. So when you have a chance, give me a call, 831-475-6000.